You stand to your feet, turn with me in your Bible to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. The Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. We thank the Lord for all that has transpired in the service heretofore. And we do have a word from the Lord for the people of God. So 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. And I want to start reading verses 1 through 13. 1 Samuel 16. All right, say amen when you've located that text. The Bible reads as follows. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said, went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify, may it sanctify the people of God. Would that you pray with me this morning, beloved, on the title of today's sermon, Being the Lord's Anointed. Being the Lord's Anointed. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your holy and divine eyesight. O Lord, you are my strength. O Lord, you are my redeemer. You are our strength and you are our redeemer. Let the anointing flow that someone may come to know you in a deep and personal way. Some for the first time in their lives and others deepen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And amen. God bless you, saints, and God keep you is my prayer. Beloved of God, as you may take your seat, I want to talk today about four words that all begin with the letter S. I want to talk about sacrifice. I want to talk about stature. I want to talk about service. I want to talk about spirit. I want to talk about sacrifice. I want to talk about stature, service, and spirit. For in this text, you will find all four of those words either referred to and or used explicitly. This is a text that if you look in your bulletin at the bottom of the center panel, you will find that this is one of what we call our lectionary readings. It is a reading that men and women have pored over to put certain readings together that talk about certain themes in certain seasons of the Christian liturgical year. Remember, we are in the season of Lent, and as I always say, this 40-day season of Lent is about sacrifice, it's about self-denial, it's about moving those things back away from us that might distract us from doing what God has called you to do. I've said last Sunday that there's some squatters in some of our lives. Amen. And some of those squatters who are occupying space illegally need to be ejected and removed, because God is not going to force God's way into a place where there's no room for him. And so Lent is about making room for God. It's about clearing out space, sacred space, that you might receive more from God. And so over these 40 days, it is a challenge for all of us to say, what is occupying my time, my mind, my space, that is preventing God from having more of me and preventing me from having more of God? And so today's text is a Lenten text. And so in the text, you will find a reference to the word sacrifice. And that, again, that word sacrifice is explicitly mentioned in the text, starting in verses 2, 3, 4, and going further into the text, because Saul, who is the king of Israel at this time, there were only three monarchs who were king over a united Israel, 12 tribes of Israel. I spoke last week about the breakup of the 12 tribes of Israel to the 10 tribes in the north, led by Jeroboam, the two tribes in the south, led by Rehoboam, Solomon's son. This story comes before that. So before we get to 1 Kings, we get to 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, because in the text is a record of how God put three men over the monarchy of the nation of Israel. He put first Saul. He put second David. He put thirdly David's son, Solomon. And then there is split into the 10 tribes in the north, the two tribes in the south. Remember the Samaritan stories, and all of that is all about the breakup of how the Jews in the south considered themselves more Jewish than the 10 tribes in the north. Right? This whole story, you have to look at the Bible in its totality. As much as I am a New Testament gospel preacher about Jesus Christ, you can't understand the fruit if you don't understand the roots. You've got to understand the history of Judaism and the nation of Israel to fully appreciate Jesus, who came as a Jew in order to usher in a new understanding and relationship to God. So this story is about Saul, the first monarch. And then it is the succession of Saul, and David's succession of Saul as the second king of Israel. Saul, the prophet in this text, the priest in this text, is a man by the name of Samuel. You should recognize Samuel because he was Hannah's son. Come on, everybody. Hannah was a woman who was barren, wanted to be pregnant, could not get pregnant, said to God, if you just give me a son, I'll give him back over to you. God gave her a son. She gave him to the priest Eli. Eli raised him up from a boy, and Samuel became a strong man of God, schooled in the ways of the Israelite priesthood. And there Samuel was stood in the shoes of the one who was to deliver the word of God and to anoint the man of God. Listen, and so this sermon is about being the Lord's anointed. How many of you know about, let me even know, the anointed of the Lord isn't something you work for and have built a resume to get. The anointing of the Lord comes from God, and God gives it to whomever God chooses to give it. There's no pre-qualifications for being the anointed of the Lord. It's like there's no qualifications for being saved. Because if there was a qualification for being saved, none of us would meet the qualifications. Amen, somebody. Jesus paid it all, to all to him we owe. And so becoming the Lord's anointed is a gift that God bestows upon whomever God chooses to give it. And so in this case, David becomes the anointed of the Lord. And if I can just link last Sunday's sermon and keep even linking the Lenten lessons, it is what it means to become more, to become the anointed of the Lord. I believe God's anointed is sitting in this room right now. I believe you're sitting next to some of God's anointed. I believe everybody in here has an anointing upon their lives. It maybe is not to preach the gospel from a pulpit. It may not be to pray a prayer, to sing a song, but everybody's got a call upon their lives. And everybody who calls on the name of Jesus is the anointed of the Lord. Somebody ought to be thankful that you are in the number to be the anointed of the Lord. And so in the text, then we watch this interesting dynamic between some who thought they were to be the anointed, but then God says, no, you, in this case, to be the king, to be anointed the king. And God says, no, I've got that reserved for somebody else. And so in the text, then this notion of sacrifice, Samuel said, God says, Samuel, I want you to go. I know Saul is still the king, but I got another king in waiting. Yes, and I want you to go anoint this king. Samuel doesn't even know who he's about to go anoint. But the Bible says that Samuel had a little bit of fear and trepidation. He said, if Saul knew what I was about to do, go anoint somebody to be his successor, but he's still the king, he would kill me. Now, first thing about being the anointed of the Lord, you can't fear any man. You can't worry about what folk can say to you and do to you. Come on, First Lady Broach. You got to just stand on what God says. And you got to go and do what God told you to do. And I know they're going to talk about you. I know they're going to look at you funny. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to question you. But when you know who you are, and when you know whose you are, and when you know from where you have come from, and you know what the Lord has done in your life, then you don't mind getting up and doing what the Lord has called you to do. They can look at you funny if they want to. They can talk about you if they want to. But when you know you have heard from the Lord, then you need to go forth and do as God has called you to do. Do I have a witness here this morning? Listen, God has told me to do some stuff I didn't quite understand. But I just have to go and be obedient to what the Lord has called me to do. Samuel has a lesson in obedience. He says, he's like Moses. Well, I'm afraid of what Pharaoh might do to me. God says, stop making excuses and go do what I told you to do. Some of us are making excuses and not doing what God, the anointed of the Lord, what God has called you to do. Stop making excuses. God says to Samuel, you just go and do what I told you to do. Now, here's what I want you to say. Here's what I want you to do. And Samuel does just that. Obedience to God is always better than sacrifice. And so in this sense, Samuel goes and he listens to God. And the first thing in the text is about this sacrifice. Samuel, God tells Samuel to invoke the notion of sacrifice on the altar to move forward his initiative to anoint a new king. Now that word sacrifice has many different meanings to it. It can literally mean the object that is to be sacrificed on the altar. In this case, a bull, a heifer, a lamb, a ram. Remember, Jesus was the lamb that was slain. But in other ways, it means an act of volition, that you give up something. Amen? Or you give up somebody. Amen? And so this notion of sacrifice is to give up. And so although God tells Samuel to use the word sacrifice as the object that is to be slain, there is another meaning that we can use as its double entendre to say, what are we giving up for the Lord? Amen, somebody. God wants us to sacrifice. In order to be the anointed of the Lord, you must be in a place where you are willing to sacrifice, where you are willing to give up time for God. You're willing to give up people for God. You're willing to give up your own self-gratification for God. You're willing to give up shopping for God. You're willing to give up chocolate for God. You're willing to give up some meat for God. But you're also willing to give up backbiting for God. You're also willing to give up envy for God, jealousy for God. Come on, somebody. There's a bunch of stuff some of us need to give up for God. Sacrifice. God wants to know he's numero uno.
He's the primary occupant of your space and your time. When you wake up in the morning, there's nobody that you think more of than God. Before you lay your head on the pillow at night, there's nobody else you want to thank but God. When you're in the middle of your day, you want to stop and say, Lord, I praise you. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to not even go out to lunch today. I'm just going to give God some praise. I'm going to not even go out and hang out with my friends on Saturday. I'm just going to give God some praise. Because when you give up for God, how many of you know God has already given up for you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When you sacrifice for God, what are you willing to give up during this Lenten season? For God, sacrifice. In this case, Samuel sacrifices, uses the sacrifice to gather the people together. Then that moves me into my second word, which is this notion of stature. Size is another way to think about this. And so Samuel goes, and Samuel's still thinking carnally. Sad to say, the priest of God is thinking carnally. He's looking at the outside. He's missing the point. Okay, God, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to go and do what you called me to do. I got my oil, got my lamp, my ram's horn. I'm going to anoint the anointed of God. And so Samuel calls Jesse and says, Jesse, bring your boys before me. And the Bible says that Jesse paraded each of his sons before the priest so that the priest began to think, that's the next anointed of the Lord. Eliab came before Samuel. Samuel said, surely Eliab is the anointed of the Lord. Ahinahab came before Samuel. Samuel said, surely that's the anointed of the Lord. But God said what in verse number 7? Man looks on the outward appearance. Come on, somebody. But God looks on the heart. God looks on what's on the inside. I know you may got it going on the outside. I know you may got degrees behind your name. I know you may have political connections up the wazoo. I know you may know people who know people who know people. I know you got a lot of money in the bank. I know you drive a nice car, live in a nice house, wear nice clothes. But how many of you know that doesn't mean anything if God is not on the inside? You better have God on the inside. There's a song that we sing, Brother Billy. Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. If you never had God on the inside, it doesn't matter what you have on the outside, because it's all not worth anything. God says, I don't care what you got on the outside. Stop looking at what they look like. Stop looking at how they talk. Stop looking at how they walk. I want you to look at the heart.
Yes, sir.
Because too many of us get caught up on what's on the outside, don't we? Boy, they sound like a preacher. They look like a preacher. They sound like a singer. They ought to be singing. But if God didn't tell them to sing, you stop telling them to sing. If God didn't tell them to preach, you stop trying to make them preach. God is looking at what's on the inside. And that's a lesson for all of us. It's not about your stature. It's not about how statuesque you think you are. It's not about your size. It's not about how you look. It's not about who you know. It's not about what you got. It's all about, do you know the man from Galilee who died to set you free? Do you know who they hung on a cross and died for your sins? President Obama didn't die for me. President Clinton didn't die for me. President Bush didn't die for me. Mayor Tony Mack didn't die for me. Mayor Burt Douglas Palmer didn't die for me. Jesus paid it all, and all to him.
Yes, sir.
We owe. It's not what's on the outside. Verse 7 says it very clear. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Third point. Your sacrifice, what matters most is not what's outside, what's inside. Brings me then to my service. All these boys, Jesse's boys, seven of them, came before the priests. And each one, God said, no, he's not the one. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of folk who think they're the one, but God's going to tell you who the one is. God said, no, he's not the one. Next. God said, no, he's not the one. Next. God said, no, he's not the one. Next. Come on, somebody. Let me throw a little something in here for free to some of y'all sisters who are praying for a man or a husband. You need to be careful, because God's trying to tell you, no, he's not the one. Next. But you're hanging on to something, trying to make him into somebody he's not. But God said, he's not the one. Next. Brothers, y'all got infatuated by how she looked, but you forgot about what's in her heart. She may be pretty and fine as all get up, but God is saying, she's not the one. Find somebody that's got a heart for Jesus. Find somebody who's on fire for the Lord. Find somebody who knows how to get a prayer through. Find somebody who can walk with you through the valley. Am I helping anybody here today? They're not the one. God said, said to Samuel. Samuel said to Jesse, Jesse, you got any more sons? Because none of these are the one. Jesse said, reminds me of the little one with the little jar of boy. I got something way back there. Jesse said, I got another boy. Yeah, he's out in the field. That's so important in the text. Because while everybody else parading, while everybody else signifying, while everybody else trying to project who they want to be and who they want you to think they are, little old Dave was out there walking in the field. He didn't care who they were parading in front of. All David was doing was fighting lions and tackling bears. You're not getting the message, are you? If you just do what God has called you to do, your gifts will make room for you. I know somebody trying to keep you down, but you just keep working for the Lord. You just keep serving in the vineyard. God will open doors that no man can shut. God will build bridges that no man can tear down. God will put you where he wants you to be. I know they trying to hold you back on your job, but you just keep serving, you just keep working, and you just keep praising. Because sooner rather than later, God's about to flip the script. God's about to do a new thing. God said, Samuel said to Jesse, bring that other boy here. And the Bible says David had ruddy eyes. David was good looking. David was small of stature. He didn't look like a king. He didn't walk like a king. But he was out there doing the work of a king. He was out taking care of the sheep. And that's what a king over Israel was supposed to do. Take care of my sheep. God says to Samuel, that's the one. Come on, somebody. That's the one. Anoint him. Your service will speak louder than all this other stuff. When you know that you know, you don't gotta tell folk what you know. Because when you show up, they'll know what you know and who you know. I learned a long time ago, folk, I used to be in settings where folk look over me and underestimate me, but I just sat there and I just kept on smiling. I just sat there and I kept on praising. I just sat there, all the king's horses and all the king's men. I just sat there, kept doing what God told me to do. Wasn't trying to politic, wasn't trying to get my way, wasn't trying to kick folk in the backside. All I kept doing was giving God the praise. And don't you know, I scratched my head, I looked up, and it's like one day I was where God wanted me to be. When you get to where God wants you to be, and you know you got there because God wanted
you there. You can be secure in your spot. Come on, somebody. You ain't got a backbite. You ain't got a politic. You don't have to hold on to stuff. You ain't got to kill everybody around you. Because when you know that God put you here, and when God gets ready, he'll move you away from here. Stop looking at everybody else. Stop worrying about what they're trying to do to you. You just keep your eyes to the hills from whence cometh your help. Am I helping anybody today? Because if I'm not helping you, I'm helping myself. Last point.
Yes, sir.
Last point.
Yes, sir.
Sacrifice, service, stature, spirit. I didn't read the rest of the text. You got to read it when you go home. Verses 7 through 13.
When God said to Samuel, Samuel said to Jesse, that's the one. Samuel got his anointing oil out.
And the Bible says in chapter number 16, verse number 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. I'm sure all of them are saying, where did he come from?
Yes,
the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord,
yes,
came upon David from that day forward.
Yes,
when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon God's people, that's when your help comes. When the Spirit of the Lord comes into your marriage, you gonna stop trying to make it work and it's gonna start working. When the Spirit of the Lord comes on your job, all them demons will stop messing with you. When the Spirit of the Lord comes up in your choir loft, then the praises of God will go up. When the Spirit of the Lord comes and sit in the pew, then God will begin to open up doors. When the Spirit of the Lord, how many of you know, is not by might and is not by power, but is by my Spirit, says the Lord. The oil represents the Holy Ghost. And I tell Baptists and Lutherans and Episcopalians, you better get a little bit of what the Pentecostal folk got, because they on fire with the Spirit of the Lord. Because when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me, I'm going to dance like David danced. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me, I'm going to praise like David praised. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me, I'm going to shout like David shouted. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me, I'm going to run like David ran. Does anybody have the Spirit of the Lord? Does anybody know about the Holy Ghost? Does anybody have the anointing? Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. The Spirit of the 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 Lord. Some of y'all need to invoke the Spirit of the Lord. Some of y'all need to open up your heart to the Spirit of the Lord. Some of y'all need to open up your marriage to the Spirit of the Lord. You can't do what the Spirit of the Lord does. You need to let go. And let God. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Somebody shout the Spirit. The Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Holy Ghost. Have your way, God. Have your way. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. Deacons and deaconess and clergy, we're going to open up this invitation to someone who may not know the Lord for yourself. I want to invite you today to come forward, to let go and let God have it. Three invitations. Number one is to pray. You can pray for your brothers and your sisters. Number two, if you don't have a church home but you know the Lord, I want you to trust God today and say, if the Lord is speaking to you to unite with this branch of Zion, I invite you to come. Look at God today. Bless you, sister. Just follow Deacon Thomas down. Bless you. Let's give God a praise offering for our sister. Listen, when you know the Lord is speaking, you ain't got to wait for me to give the invitation. You just come on down. And the third invitation is if you don't know the Lord Jesus for yourself, I want to invite you to come forward today in the name of Jesus. Whomever you are, wherever you've come from, black, white, red, brown, gay, lesbian, straight, rich or poor, whomever you are, come. The Lord is calling you today to come to Him. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and sing, choir.